This is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately Pompey.
Begins, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Shoes Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Plough Lane Lights delivered a brilliant spectacle in midweek.
Hackett Fairchild, who breaks into the penalty area, across the face of goal. Great effort, save! Harrison's there for the follow-up. Portsmouth were two down. An Ellis Harrison hat-trick has turned it around. It's Wimbledon 2, Portsmouth 3.
But the Blues were unable to keep hold of their advantage for too long.
Presley bearing down on the penalty area to end it. Great save, Eastwood. Follow-up in the net. Wimbledon 5, Portsmouth 3.
Pompey suffered defeat in an 8-goal thriller to open up their EFL trophy campaign. Danny Cowley was disappointed with the outcome.
It was a crazy game, I suppose. It was a good one for the neutral, but not a good one for us because we don't like to concede 5 goals and we like to win.
But pleased later in the week to have a full squad to pick from at Stadium MK as league football returns.
Good to get the group back together today. First time actually we've been together as a whole squad and everybody's trained. We've had a good session and got competition now in every position, which is good and what you want.
We've got it all to come right here on 93.7 Express FM. Welcome to Friday night. Welcome to the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome along to another episode of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, your home of every Blues match day and passionate Pompey discussion twice a week, every week. Coming up on tonight's show, we've got full reaction to Tuesday night's EFL Trophy clash with Wimbledon at Plough Lane. We'll discuss the players who featured in midweek that impressed and could be in line to play a part this weekend. And of course, we'll throw ahead to look forward to tomorrow's league fixture with NK Dons. And as always, Pompey fans, we are eager to hear the thoughts of you back home too. As always, you can either text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. We start off this evening by taking a journey back up the A3 to Plough Lane, where Pompey began their EFL Trophy campaign with a trip to fellow League One outfit AFC Wimbledon. Andy Moon was accompanied by former Blues forward Guy Whittingham for the commentary.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey. Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It is a beautiful evening in southwest London. Clear skies, very pleasant temperatures. We could be sat on the Algarve or the Spanish Riviera down Drysdale, ready to get us underway in the EFL Trophy here at Plough Lane. Wimbledon with a corner. They scored two of their three goals against Oxford on Saturday from set pieces. In it comes towards the near post. It's flicked on loose. Chance for Wimbledon. Goal! Paul Kalambayi has his first senior Wimbledon goal inside a minute. Forced to the behind. And the first thing Jake Eastwood will do as a Portsmouth goalkeeper is pick the ball out of the net. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 0. Come forward again and Gemma Noga has to do some defending, and again we're seeing the pace of Mabude, and both Minoga and Downing are left out of it, and there's a chance for Presley. It's laid off. Great chance for Wimbledon. Asal, no one wants to hit it. Presley will and put it well wide. Hurst flicks it on. Harrison in the area. Chance for Ellis. Harrison, and his shot is blocked. Brilliant covering challenge from Kalambayi. Jacobs tries to dart over halfway, and then his ball forward is blocked, and it falls kindly for Wimbledon. They're breaking into the penalty. Chance for Presley here. Good save by Eastwood. And how quickly Wimbledon turned defence into attack. Now there's space for them to drive forward into and look towards the Asal in the penalty area. Trying to pull it back. Great chance. 2-0. Aaron Presley has his second of the season. laid on a plate for him. Could have missed that from 6 yards out. And while Portsmouth have been a blunt instrument going forward, Wimbledon have caused Pompey problems. And they lead Portsmouth by 2-0. Harrison outside the penalty area, shot into the net. Owala can't keep that one out. That goes through him. And Ellis Harrison's got his first of the season. It's one that the goalkeeper should have saved. But Portsmouth haven't looked dangerous until first half stoppage time, and they now have their goal. Wimbledon 2, Portsmouth 1. Left footed in swinging corner to come for Portsmouth. Second of the half. This again is going underneath the crossbar to the far post. Ogilvy nods it back to the 6-yard box, and it's headed into the net. And Ellis Harrison has powered home an equaliser. At least a hint of a smile on his face on this occasion. The deep corner headed back by Ogilvy. And Harrison just too strong and forced his header in by the goalkeeper. It's Wimbledon 2, Portsmouth 2. Lovely ball, the outside of his right foot to Hackett Fairchild, who breaks into the penalty area across the face of goal. Great effort, save. Harrison's there for the follow-up and completes his hat-trick. A Hanamis shot, fumbled by Owala, and there following him was Ellis Harrison, who will take home the match ball. Portsmouth were 2 down. An Ellis Harrison hat-trick has turned it around. It's Wimbledon 2, Portsmouth 3. And a penalty kick to Wimbledon.
You cannot dangle a leg like that when somebody goes past. You just can't do it.
Presley, right-footed, steps forward, strikes it and scores. Eastwood goes the right way, but he can't get his fingertips to the ball. And Aaron Presley has his second of the night. It's AFC Wimbledon 3, Portsmouth 3. Deep delivery towards the far post, headed into the net. And Wimbledon might have just won it at the death. Will Nightingale on target for the second consecutive game, ghosting in at the far post. It's AFC Wimbledon 4, Portsmouth 3. Wimbledon could be away here, and there's only the goalkeeper between Presley and the net. Presley bearing down on the penalty area to end it. Great save, Eastwood. Follow up in the net. Fifth goal for Wimbledon. Game over. Luke McCormack with his second of the season. With just seconds and the 4 minutes of added time left, Wimbledon have broken up the other end and they've got themselves a fifth goal. It's AFC Wimbledon 5, Portsmouth 3. As the final whistle goes here at the new Plough Lane, it is a defeat for Portsmouth in the EFL Trophy. They've not lost a group match for some time in this competition, but they've lost this one by 5-3.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from the midweek defeat up in London, where Pompey lost out in an 8-goal thriller by 5-3 to start this season's EFL Trophy campaign. That result, along with other matches in Pompey's group, which took place last week, has put the Blues third in Group B of the Southern Section. Sutton United saw off the Crystal Palace under-21s by 3-0 last week. So Sutton top the group after one game. Wimbledon are second on goal difference. Pompey third and Palace under-21s rock bottom, but with two games remaining, of course. Alongside me this evening to pick apart that midweek thriller, as well as to look ahead to tomorrow's return to league action, we have the returning Josh Sweetman. Josh, welcome back to the show, mate.
Pleasure as always, Jake.
And joining Josh over the phone lines tonight, we've got Freddie Webb on the show. Freddie, also great to have you with us, mate.
Thanks for having me on again, Jake.
Right then, lads, where do we start? Josh, a 5-3 defeat on Tuesday night. Certainly not the kind of game that any of us were expecting from an EFL Trophy group stage opener. Just fantastic entertainment.
It was, and it almost feels like it is completely different to what we've been watching recently. Sort of tight 0-0s, Pompey struggling to score, but also keeping things tight at the other end. I mean, if you blinked, you missed it most of the time. I think it showed a lot of character from Pompey. I know that it wasn't quite first 11 and it was a lot of players that needed the minutes, but it still, in terms of mentality, is a massive thing to go 2-0 down early and then come back to 3-2. I know we went on and lost the game, but it, for me, it was all about getting minutes into some of those legs that haven't had any. And you could see the likes of Thompson absolutely knackered at the end.
Yeah.
But those sort of frantic games are probably the ones that that hit the legs hardest, and the players needed those. And let's see, but I think there's a few out there that sort of showed that, yes, they're ready to sort of challenge a first team. And I think, as Danny Cowley said as well, there's a few out there that didn't really look up to the standard that we probably expect from the start of the season.
A much changed team on Tuesday night, Threadie, definitely. But they worked so hard to get back into the game from 2-0 down, 2-1 at the break, and to come back into 3-2. Ellis Harrison with the hat-trick. We'll come on and talk about him in a moment. But from the entire team, such great character, as Josh mentioned there, to get back into the game and retake the lead. So very disappointing to end up throwing that away.
Absolutely, yeah. It was great character for the team to get back into it, especially after the bad start. The defensive mistakes were always going to happen, considering there were 11 changes. It was a new formation with three at the back and with tired legs as well. When Wimbledon scored their fourth, it was obvious that Pompey were pushing to try and get a draw from there or something a bit more. So, yeah, those defensive lapses were disappointing. But, hey, it's an EFL Trophy game. The entire point of it is to get legs in some of the depth players in the squad and to basically try new tactical things and to see if anybody can break into the first team. And I think a couple of people have from that game.
Okay, so we've heard the thoughts of both Josh Sweetman and Threadie Webb. We'll come back to those two in just a few moments' time. But what did the boss take from Tuesday night's defeat? Ollie Marsh caught up with Danny Cowley on the touchline at Plough Lane following the full-time whistle.
Well, Danny, a quite incredible game of football. How would you sum that one up?
Yeah, I think it was a crazy game, which sometimes you see in this cup competition. We're disappointed because we've come up short. And when you work so hard to get 3-2 up in the game at 80 minutes, you're obviously disappointed to lose. Weren't pleased with how we played first half. There looked a few that were short of match practice. I thought we did significantly better after half time, and probably from 45 to 80, had really good control in the game and carried a real goal threat. I thought there were some positives. Obviously, Ellis Harrison scoring a hat-trick was good. Really liked that, and I liked his performance. I thought Marlon Romeo on his debut was excellent. And I thought Louis Thompson grew into the game and put in a really strong second-half performance. But there were some others that will need to do better if they want to play in my team.
Yeah, for Ellis Harrison, obviously scoring a hat-trick, does that then put him in contention to earn a starting place in the league?
Absolutely. Listen, this is what these games are for. I'll pick what I see. That's the truth. And I was pleased with El. We had good conversation off the back of the transfer window. He came in on September the 1st, when the boys were actually on a day off to come in and train. And has had the bit between his teeth. And football's an honest game. And he's proved that tonight, because he's trained well for a period now. He looks fitter, he looks stronger. He looks the threat that we all know he can be. So that was pleasing. But like I say, I'm never happy to lose. Certainly not happy to concede 5 goals. I can't remember the last time one of my teams conceded 5 goals. And I'm used to winning. I expect to win. I like to win. I don't like losing. So when I do, I'm always disappointed.
You've had a few challenges as Portsmouth manager so far. I'd imagine having to find an emergency goalkeeper at short notice would be right up there with them.
Yeah. I don't want to make excuses. I thought young Jake Eastwood did fine. It obviously wasn't ideal preparations. We were without Alex Bass and obviously Gavin Bazunu playing for Ireland tonight. The goalkeeper was quite important to us, so we had to play in a certain way because we had to play with a little bit less risk, I suppose, and that gives you a little bit less control, and then your team doesn't quite look like your team. But these were the circumstances and we have to work around that. And listen, we picked a team, we picked the 11 players that needed to play, and I think players always need to play. So we knew that we didn't quite have balance in the team, and we started in a 4-4-2. We wanted to roll up Gassan and Rico in and probably get our fullbacks on the overlap. We were getting overrun in the middle, so we had to change that. We changed that maybe after 15 minutes and started to do better in a 3-5-2. We got together at half time and tweaked some details. In the second half, I thought we actually played well up to 80 minutes, and just so disappointing. You get 3-2 up in the game, got total ascendancy, and then you score and you then give away such a poor third goal, and that then turned the momentum on its head. And like we saw, it was a crazy game. I suppose it was a good one for the neutral, but not a good one for us, because we don't like to concede 5 goals and we like to win.
And just, you mentioned Marlon Romeo and Louis Thompson. What were the elements of their performances that you can take positives from tonight?
Yeah, I just thought Marlon just showed the quality of player that he is. I thought he played with real athleticism, real power, got into some great areas. He's going to bring, real dynamism to us and athleticism. And, I enjoyed his performance. I thought Louis grew into it, and second half in particular got real control for us. And, Ellis obviously getting a hat-trick, which was good. Young Rico as well, playing out of position, not easy for him. But I thought he, second half, looked a real threat. But there was some others that need to do better.
The post-match thoughts of the gaffer there, and so much to take from that interview, Josh. We'll start with Danny Cowley's comments about Ellis Harrison, a completely different player from the one we've seen over the past season or two. A great performance on Tuesday night.
It was, and I think you could do a survey with 100 Pompey fans, and I think 95 of them would say that they don't rate him. I think a lot of them and a lot of Pompey fans were looking as him to be the one out the window so that we could bring that new striker in that I think we desperately needed. However, he hasn't gone, and as Danny Cowley said, they've had a conversation, and I think the opportunity for him to start is there for the taking. From what we saw on Tuesday, in my mind, there was no doubt he should start tomorrow. And at the end of the day, Pompey fans could even complain with that, what I've just said, that they still don't think he's good enough to start. However, John Marcus hasn't started the season well. I know he scored in the first game, but there, if you bring Ellis Harrison in, he can do no worse at the moment. And actually, I think he brings you a lot of qualities, which when you play a man up front on their own, we don't have that with Marcus. Marcus is brilliant off the ball. He does a lot of running, but Harrison is a lot stronger. He can hold the ball up. And I don't think we've seen the best of Ronan Curtis since we had someone like Ollie Hawkins up front who can hold the ball and bring others into play. And that's why Lowe and Curtis scored so many goals that season. Yeah. I think with Harrison, if you can keep him confident and he scores a goal, then I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't start at the moment. You can't have someone score a hat-trick and then not play them the next game. It would be madness. So he 100% deserves to start tomorrow.
For a team, you know, like Josh is saying there, Threddy, for a team like Pompey have started the season really lacking goals. Despite starting the season quite well, we're in the playoffs as it stands, but, you know, goals have, you know, come very far and, you know, few and far between. Ellis Harrison scores a hat-trick in midweek. That is very, very hard to ignore for Danny Cowley.
Oh yeah, it's unignorable. I think if you don't give Ellis Harrison the start tomorrow, when do you? What sort of message does that bring to a player who was on the periphery of the squad? And I think tactically it works well against MK Dons as well. Presuming if, let's say Pompey go over 4-3-3, and if Ellis Harrison's at the top of it, he takes away Darling, MK Dons' centre-half, main one, and it allows the wingers, let's say it's Harness or Curtis, to fully press up to Warren O'Hara and Dean Lewington on both sides of their back three. I think Ellis Harrison will cause them a lot of problems physically, and he's on form. He's earned it, and like Danny Cowley mentioned it in the interview, if he's got that mentality and bit between his teeth, then he will play up to those performances that he hasn't shown for a while.
Okay, time is very, very quickly running away from us tonight, gents, so let's head into our first break of the evening. Very soon, the three of us will conclude our chat about Tuesday's incredible game at Plough Lane and begin to preview Pompey's next fixture. The Blues are up against MK Dons away from home this weekend, and Danny Cowley has been emphasising the impact of Pompey supporters and how they can make a difference tomorrow afternoon.
For us to have our supporters there, I think when we went there at the back end of last season with no supporters, it was a really different feel. And because it's such a big stadium, it almost feels more empty. So to have our supporters with us on Saturday will be massive. And we really hope that they're able to get right behind us and fuel our energy, because we're looking to be really aggressive with our play and to try to get the game on our terms.
Stick around for more passionate Pompey discussion and keep those text tweets and emails coming into us from back home. Don't go anywhere. The three of us will be back with more in just a few moments' time.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Welcome back to the only radio station from our great island city of Portsmouth, Express FM, home of both Pompey Live and the Football Hour. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the latter. I'm joined tonight by Josh Sweetman and Threddy Webb to delve deeper into Tuesday night's breathtaking EFL Trophy clash between Wimbledon and Pompey at Plough Lane, as well as to later on look ahead to the Blues' upcoming league fixture. We've got a tweet in here from Gav Jones, who says, "Good evening, gents. Considering it's a competition that supposedly nobody cares about, the atmosphere was incredible. I even managed to drag the missus along for her first ever away game. Absolutely delighted for Ellis. He's had a lot of very unfair criticism. Hopefully he kicks on." The thoughts of Gav Jones on Twitter there. And if, like Gav, you'd like to get involved tonight, you can. 81400 is the number to text, putting the word Express at the start of your messages. You can email into Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. We were speaking before the break, Josh, about Ellis Harrison. his hat-trick heroics on Tuesday night. And what a turnaround it has been for him to get back into his Pompey team, possibly in contention for Saturday's game at MK Dons. But in terms of the way he started the season, Josh, really put up for transfer. You know, Danny Cowley made that quite clear. It was very heavily reported. Plymouth Argyle were supposedly the number one target for Ellis Harrison. It didn't quite come off, and he remains a Pompey player. To have that kind of mentality to get back into the Blues squad and put on such a performance, that's something you've got to admire.
It does, and it shows how professional a footballer he is. He could have easily dropped. We don't know why the deal never went through with Plymouth, whether they didn't want it in the end, whether he didn't want it. And to be honest, let's say he didn't want it, I would put no blame on him for turning around and saying, you know what, I'm not leaving. I've got a contract at Portsmouth. At the end of the day, you have to look after yourself. And Pompey gave him a two or three year contract. But give him his due. Danny Cowley said he came in on his day off and he went and scored a hat trick. So you just can't ignore those facts. And as I said, for me, he goes straight into the lineup tomorrow, no matter what. Anyone that scores a hat trick is brimming with confidence. And we're playing against an MK Dons team who, yes, they've got a decent forward in Moai, so yes, they've got Scott Twine, but they lost their manager at the start of the season. And although they'll still go with that identity they had, they're there for the taking. And if we've been getting in good positions, we haven't been scoring goals. That needs to change. If we can get in those good positions, if you've got a striker in confidence, no matter who it is, you would expect them to take one of the opportunities that we do create.
Yeah, Luke Ellis on Twitter has got involved. He says, I think much of the side picks itself for the weekend, but some headaches for Danny Cowley. Right back is between Romeo and Freeman, a three-man midfield, or a number 10 between Morel, Aziz and Thompson, and the centre-forward position between either Harrison or Marquis. Bazunu, Raggett, Clark Robertson, Brown, Tunnicliffe, Harness, Curtis all start for me tomorrow. Luke Ellis on Twitter there. We'll come on to talk about tomorrow's game at MK Dons a little later on in the show. Threddy, let's move on. We'll carry on talking about Tuesday night. Certainly a lot to get our teeth stuck into. And it wasn't just Ellis Harrison that provided a goal threat for Pompey, especially in that second half. I thought George Hurst had a pretty decent game too.
Yeah, he was unlucky not to score hitting the bar from memory. I think he's got a bad run of it in terms of fan criticism. He hasn't played enough for me to have that sort of criticism fully put it in. But I don't see him as a first choice at the moment. I think it was clear that he was brought in as a depth piece, offer something different up front with an aerial presence and having that ability to bring others into play. But yeah, it was bad to see him have a better performance than some of the substitute appearances he had earlier.
Yeah, and Rico Hackett-Fairchild as well. Josh, a lot of fans coming together to say, but he's had a pretty good start to the season, considering that I don't think anybody expected him to be so involved within this Pompey squad. He's played quite a number of games now. He stepped up to the plate on Tuesday night. He even played out of position, but still carried a threat. So we talk about how the squad in midweek was much changed. There are a lot of fringe players and a couple of academy products being brought into that game as well. But despite some of these players being put out of position, despite the fact that, like Ellis Harrison, Paul Downing, players we've not seen in quite a long time, still very impressed with the performance. I know it sounds bizarre to say we conceded 5 goals, but it was just a really good game, wasn't it? No one wants to go far in this trophy anyway. We were treated to the entertainment. And like you said in part one, Josh, it was just a good opportunity to see these players get some minutes in their legs.
It was. And I think you look at Rico, one of the main things for me is that as a footballer, you will always struggle if you're constantly changing positions. And obviously he started the season in a 10, he's played on the wing. And we saw him at wing back on Tuesday night. And one of the biggest fears for me with him in that position is I didn't think that he would have the defensive side to him. I know Danny Cowley's very disciplined and will try and teach you that. But going from a 10 to a winger to a wing back is very hard. But he defended very well. And second half, they couldn't get near him. They didn't really have a man out on him. And he was a constant threat down that left side. I think going back to what you were saying about how amazing the game was, we lost that game, unfortunately, when Thompson had to come off the pitch. And the second half, he was by far the best player on the pitch. He was running things. He was everywhere. And I think that goes to show what signing he could be if this new regime, the training regime he has, keeps him fit. Because in my eyes, that performance, I know it was only a cup game and Wimbledon were quite changed as well, but that was up there with what Tunnicliffe's done this season. And he is all energy, all action, and he's a perfect sort of box-to-box midfielder. So if you've got those two in central midfield, if Thompson stays fit, then I don't really care what Ipswich have got or the signings they've been making from the Championship. That those two could arguably walk into that team, let alone our team.
Yeah. Louis Thompson impressing in midweek, as you know, Josh is mentioning there, and Pompey really strong in midfield options going into tomorrow's game at MK Dons, Freddie. But I want to talk about now Marlon Romeo, the right back who made his debut on Tuesday night. I know, again, it's only a trophy match, and you probably can't read too much into it. But again, a player who had an excellent debut. He was quality, athletic, powerful, pacey down that right-hand side. Showed a lot of signs of promise.
I've rated Marlon Romeo for a long time when he was at Millwall in the Championship, and I think getting him on loan for the season is a great coup, simply because he offers, first of all, Danny Carroll the option to play wing-backs if he wants to, because he's played wing-back at Championship level. But like in the game against Wimbledon, he was up and down, he was aggressive, always looking to have a dribble or to try and put a cross in certain times. I think he gets ahead of Freeman for me in next game for tactical reasons. But yeah, I think Romeo is a great signing, and I think he'll only build that performance on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and we can't move on without talking about Jake Eastwood, the Sheffield United goalkeeper, Josh, who joined Pompey on Tuesday afternoon on a seven-day loan from Sheffield United. Of course, Gavin Bazunu was on international duty with the Republic of Ireland. Alex Bass isolating, so he could not be involved within the squad. Toby Stewart was involved on the bench. He's an academy goalkeeper. But Jake Eastwood, on loan from Sheffield United for a week, thrown right in the deep end. Must have got that call very, very late, either Tuesday morning, Monday night. And I know it sounds bizarre to say, but conceding five goals, yes. But again, showed signs of promise within that match for goalkeeper. Probably didn't deserve to concede five goals.
I tell you what, you pretty much just, like you said it, I don't think you'll see many keepers, especially at that age, come into first team football and have as good a game as he did and concede five. And he was incredibly unlucky to be on the losing team. I thought he actually should have saved the penalty, but the save at the end alone, although they scored the follow-up, showed what a good goalkeeper was going to be. His handling was very good. He commanded his area. And unfortunately, our experienced pros in front of him. I know Hajime Noga's not probably old enough to hold that experience and hasn't played enough games, but the likes of Downing and the likes of Ogilvie have got to do a hell of a lot more to sort of protect a kid coming into men's football who basically dug them out of a hole a few times. He made a couple of good saves early on with his legs, and I think he's going to be a very good goalkeeper. But you can't have the likes, as I said, of defenders that are experienced in front of you and concede five and not protect a keeper like that. So I was very impressed, but Danny Cowley said some of those performances weren't up there with what we'd expect, and I think our defensive performance wasn't even League Two standard in that game. So yeah, really good performance, but he could have been protected a hell of a lot more.
Yeah. Graham Wilkins on the emails. He says, "Hi, Jake, and good evening, gents. An exciting game on Tuesday and certain fringe players stood out. So on that basis, I'd love to see Ellis Harrison in for John Marquis on Saturday. Romeo will give Freeman a run for his money, and I'd like to see Thompson on the bench. Also, it'll be interesting to see if Aziz starts the game. What we will have is a strong bench, which will be good with plenty of exciting players to choose from. Curtis will be fresh as he never played a minute of football on his international break. On the basis, I'm going for a 2-1 win for Pompey on Saturday." Graham Wilkins on the emails. Thank you for getting in touch, Graham. And that concludes our chat about Pompey's 5-3 defeat at Wimbledon on Tuesday night in the EFL Trophy. The next fixture in that competition is live from Fratton Park, 7:45 kickoff on Tuesday the 12th of October. match day number two of the Southern Section Group B in the EFL Trophy, and the visitors for that game, Sutton United, who, like I said earlier, won their opening match by 3-0 against the Crystal Palace under-21s. OK, then, let's move on to the next challenge for Pompey. League One is back on the agenda this weekend, and first up for the Blues, after a two-week break from league action, is MK Dons. Danny Cowley's side are back on the road for tomorrow's game. He's been speaking to the Pompey media team about his improved pool of players to select from and the return of those who have been away on international duty.
That's right. Yeah, it was good to get the group back together today. See the four that have been away on international duty. First time actually we've been together as a whole squad. So it was nice to get everyone together today and everybody's trained. We've had a good session and like you rightly say, yeah, we've got competition now in every position, which is good and what you want. I think it's always, you know, I always say to the players that see their direct competition ultimately as their best friend, because I think it's that drives the standards.
And in particular as well, Miguel Aziz, how good has it been to get some time with him on the training ground since he arrived?
Yeah, no, great to have Miguel. It's the first time that he's trained today. He's been with us Tuesday and Wednesday, but obviously he'd come off the back of a tough training camp with England. And it was great to see him on the grass today.
And how do you manage those situations with the international players? Because obviously we saw Joe Morrell and Gavin Bazunu, they featured quite heavily for their countries.
That's right. I think for Joe, probably some much-needed minutes. He played 19 minutes on Sunday against Belarus and again 19 minutes last night against Estonia. He came in a little bit later today, so we gave him a little bit of sleep. Because I think, you know, when you look at recovery, the key component of recovery is sleep. So to give him enough sleep is crucially important. He's then done his recovery stuff in the gym and we've used the cryo chamber as well, which will help him. But I think he needs those minutes, so that 180 minutes that he's got in the last week has been good for him. He obviously had a bit of a stop-start pre-season. He come back late because of the Euros, and then while he was at Luton he picked up COVID, so he would have really benefited from that. And I actually watched the game last night. I chose to watch Wales instead of England, so I can't believe he's done that to me. But no, he played really well in both games, used the ball really, really effectively, passed it well. I think created two or three chances, really clear-cut chances over the last two games. So that's been good to see. And obviously Gavin's had three games. So he had Tuesday, Saturday and Tuesday come off the save of the penalty save against Ronaldo and then two really good performances. And his game Tuesday against Serbia, I thought he was outstanding. And what I love about Gavin is he's come in this morning and, you know, we gave him the option of taking a second day recovery, but he's got this laser focus and he wanted to be back on the grass and he wanted to be back training, and that says everything about him. And, you know, I look at his mentality and he's only a 19-year-old, but he's a leader in terms of our group with regards to that mindset and mentality and what you need to do and what you need to be if you want to play at the very top.
Looking at your opposition for Saturday, MK Dons, are they still going through a bit of a transition period after a slightly unexpected managerial change right at the start of the campaign?
Yeah, that's right. It can't be easy for them to lose their manager on the eve of the season. I think Russell Martin did a really good job at MK and gave them a clear identity, a clear way of playing. I think that's allowed the MK board to be clear on their next appointment, and they've brought in Liam Manning, who obviously has a similar game idea. And as a consequence, I think it's been quite a seamless transition, as you can probably see through their results. But no, it's a really good game for us, one that we're looking forward to. I think it's a fantastic stadium and we're hoping that we're going to take a really good support with us, which will just be so important, particularly when you consider the way that MK wants to play, for us to have our supporters there. I think when we went there at the back end of last season with no supporters, it was a really different feel. And because it's such a big stadium, it almost feels more empty. So to have our supporters with us on Saturday will be massive. And we really hope that they're able to get right behind us and fuel our energy, because, you know, we're clear on how we want to play and we're looking to be really aggressive with our play and to try to get the game on our terms. We are really respectful of MK and the quality of players they have and also the clarity they have in terms of their game model. But for us, it's to try to go there and wrestle the control and get it on our terms.
Danny Cowley there with Ollie Marsh, and you can take a listen back to that interview tomorrow afternoon during our pre-match build-up live from Stadium MK right here on Pompey Live from 2 o'clock. And bringing Josh and Freddie back into the conversation now then. Freddie, tomorrow afternoon a different challenge awaits MK Dons. They've had a pretty decent start to the season, they're ninth in the table as it stands, and they've had to deal with their own challenges at the start of this campaign. Notably, the biggest one, Russell Martin leaving for Swansea right at the very beginning.
Yeah, that was obviously a massive blow to them. I think many Football League pundits picked MK Dons to do really well, considering that Russell Martin would carry on. But I think the tactical strengths that MK Dons had from last season under Martin have just carried on under Liam Manning. I think it's going to be a very tough game for Portsmouth soon because MK will look to control that possession, spread Pompey's defensive line out and take those chances that they create. The good thing is Pompey might not be against Mo Isa because of injury. That was mentioned on the PO forecast this week. But yeah, still going to be a very tough game for the Blues, I think.
Very tough game with, like Freddie mentions there, Mo Isa may not be available for MK Dons tomorrow afternoon, Josh. But, you know, looking at the rest of the squad, they've still made some very, very good signings over the course of the summer. Scott Twine, of course, from Swindon Town, one of the better players in what was a really poor Swindon side last season. Pompey even reportedly wanted him, but he went to MK Dons and Pompey looked elsewhere. Scott Twine is most likely going to cause a lot of problems tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, he will. And as you said, he was one of the shining lights in that Swindon team. And he carries a real goal threat from midfield, which is one of those things I think we do now as well. But we need to make sure that we keep him quiet. But we also need to focus on our own game. Lewington must be pushing 100 now. And I think you and me could probably outrun him. But the likes of Marcus Harness should be looking at that, going up against him and thinking, if I don't cause this bloke problems, then I don't know whether I should be playing at this level. I think Romeo has to start for me because that pace and power need to be getting a back line which doesn't possess that. Mm. So we have everything we need to go and take 3 points in this game, but we need to start early. We need to get going quickly. And I genuinely think it's one of those, I know we've struggled for goals amazingly since the start of the season, but I think this team could very much be one of those that if we score one, then we could score three or four. Mm. And eventually it will happen against the team, but we need to make sure that we go out there and we take it to them from the first minute. Otherwise, the more we sit back, we know what Pompey are like, the more it will probably come back to sting us.
Yeah. You mentioned Dean Lewington as well there, Josh. Dean Lewington has actually been at the club longer than the club has been at the club. Make of that what you will. Dean Lewington has been at MK Dons since they were Wimbledon. No, he's been there that long. And a complete stalwart for the club, regardless of your feelings for MK Dons. Okay, then, we have just under 20 minutes of tonight's show remaining now, which means it is time to push for the last of those messages in from you back home. We're now asking for your score predictions, as well as who you would like to see start for the Blues at MK Dons tomorrow afternoon. All the usual ways, it's at ExpressFM on Twitter, 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is the address to direct your emails, or you can find us over at facebook.com/Pompey Live. We'll be back shortly with the conclusion of tonight's show. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome for the final time this evening back to the Football Hour. Still to come tonight, myself, Josh and Freddie have plenty of digging to do into Pompey's next opponents. And we've also got the final few text, tweets and emails to read out from back home too. If you haven't done so already and you're unsure on how to get in touch with us, head over to expressfm.com where you can find out all the details on how to have your say on the show tonight. And that is exactly what Alan Swift has done on the emails. Good evening to you, Alan. Thank you for getting in touch tonight. He says, will Danny Cowley learn from a 5-3 result and stick with wingbacks for tomorrow? Harrison to partner Marquis up front. With a stronger defence, let's hope it sparks a few goals. We need those 3 points. Cheers, Alan in Southsea. And, you know, we spoke earlier on in the show, Josh, about Ellis Harrison, the goal threat he provided on Tuesday night, and the debate as to whether he starts at Stadium MK tomorrow, whether that's in place of John Marquis or maybe even alongside John Marquis. Regardless, Pompey have gone over 270 league minutes without scoring a goal. Something's got to give.
It does. And to be honest, I know that 3-5-2 opens up a lot of opportunities for us with a second striker, but I don't think, for me, it's what we should be playing. I think Romeo slides straight in at right back, but if you play that three, then you're basically having to play Freeman at centre half because I don't trust Downing there. And I think that would be Cowley's first option to put Freeman in there. But I think we stick with a 4-2-3-1. I think Harrison goes up for Marquise, and then in that 10 position, which I think we struggled with for years, and everyone knows it, but this season we've sort of played with a 2 or a 3 that may be slightly deeper. I think Aziz comes straight in. I can't see Arsenal loaning him to us with that promise, knowing that he'll sit on the bench all season. I think it's the same with Bazunu. So I think Aziz goes straight into the 10, and then we try and just get the ball up to Harrison and feed off Harrison. I think Marquise needs to know that he has competition. I feel that obviously before this hat trick from Harrison, Marquise sit there and think, well, I don't really have much competition. Hurst hasn't really been given an opportunity and Harrison isn't firing. So I think him sort of being dropped from the team will be the best thing for him, because he'll now realise that he has to put in the hard graft and he needs to start scoring to make sure that he's starting.
Do you think it's possibly getting a little bit more or a little bit too comfortable in that position, Freddie, like Josh is alluding to there? John Marquise not having a lot of competition over the last season or two, and to really know that he's going to be one of the first names on the team sheet regardless of his form. Do you think that's something that's got to change over the next few weeks, Danny Cowley, to actually show John Marquise that he will be dropped if he requires to do so?
Yeah, I think that'll be a help to John Marquise, to be honest, because I think we've seen over the past few years when there's a lack of competition for places, sometimes complacency can set in, and that could either be throughout the entire team or just individual bad performances. If you remember a while ago when Ronan Curtis was dropped, when he had that poor form at the beginning of one season, but then came back and looked like a completely different player. I think the same thing could potentially happen for John Marquise, because Aris Harrison's at the start, and I think Portsmouth just need that extra midfielder to deal with MK Don's possession-based play. I think no matter what philosophy Danny Cowley chooses, I think Portsmouth would be looking at a counter-attacking style. So I think Harrison will probably be up front with Harness and Curtis, and then I think Morrell, Tunney, Cliff and Williams will hunker down that midfield and look to create chances through counter-pressing, I think.
Before we go any further with our preview of tomorrow's matchup in Buckinghamshire, here's Mason Jordan with a more in-depth profile on the side currently sat ninth in League One, MK Dons.
For the first time in 2 weeks, the Blues are back in league action. Match date number 6 has Pompey yet again away from home, Stadium MK awaits, as do the hosts, MK Dons.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Danny Cowley's side have had to wait a fortnight for this League One fixture, having suffered a 1-0 defeat away to Wigan in their previous on August the 28th. Since then, they have played just one match as a result of the international break. Tuesday night's EFL Trophy group stage opener at Wimbledon ended in an 8-goal thriller at Plough Lane, though it was the Dons who prevailed by 5-3. This weekend, the other more controversial Dons await. It's the turn of Milton Keynes to welcome Pompey. Here's everything we need to know about the side expected to be a dark horse for promotion this season.
Manager.
MK had been led by former Peterborough and Norwich defender Russell Martin, though the 35-year-old opted to switch Buckinghamshire for South Wales right at the start of the season. With championship outfit Swansea's approach too lucrative for the up-and-coming coach to turn down. Martin departed Stadium MK, having only been in charge of one game this season, that being a 5-0 defeat away to Bournemouth in the Carabao Cup. That proved to be his final act in charge before confirmed as Swansea head coach a day later. The club now employs 36-year-old Liam Manning, who was appointed on the 13th of August. Manning has worked in a various amount of coaching roles for the likes of Ipswich Town, West Ham United and New York City FC before having a go at management for the first time in 2020. Belgian First Division B side Lommel became the first and only previous experience in the dugout before joining MK this year. He secured a win percentage of 47 at Lommel and has overseen 3 victories and 2 draws from his 6 matches in charge of MK.
One to watch.
Alleged Pompey target Scott Twine is the one to keep an eye out for this weekend. 22 years of age and born in Swindon, Twine rose through the ranks in Wiltshire over a 5-year period, going out on loan 4 times before becoming a regular and very important part of Swindon's squad last summer. Twine had played all but 5 minutes of MK's League One campaign so far this season, registering 2 goals and an assist in their opening 6 fixtures.
Top scorer.
Sudanese forward Mo Isa is the club's leading scorer in League One so far, with 3 strikes under his belt. The 27-year-old was one of quite a few marquee signings for MK this summer, alongside the likes of Scott Twine, Ethan Robson and Troy Parrott, to name just a few. Isa became a member of the MK squad on July the 20th of this year, having been made available for transfer by previous employer and newly promoted championship outfit Peterborough, where he spent 2 years without making as big of an impact as many at London Road expected. Nonetheless, the former Cheltenham hitman moved to MK as a big name signing, joining for an undisclosed yet reported club record fee.
Current form.
After their heavy defeat to Bournemouth in the League Cup to start off the season, MK Dons have picked up 2 wins, 3 draws and 1 defeat in the league, whilst also recording a 2-1 victory at Burton Albion in the Papa John's Trophy amongst that run too. MKs have gone their last 5 matches in all competitions without tasting defeat, scoring 9 and conceding 5 in the process. Liam Manning's side are currently 9th in the league standings and just a point off the playoffs, though many above them, including Pompey, hold games in hand due to the international break. So can Pompey get their league season back on track, or will MK keep the Blues waiting their next victory? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A closer look there into MK Dons, now led by 36-year-old Liam Manning, following the departure of Russell Martin to Swansea right at the start of the season. Dave Byrne has had his say on the emails this evening, and he's even provided a little graphic with his starting 11 for tomorrow's game. Dave, loving the commitment. Thank you for getting in touch tonight. Dave, his starting 11 for tomorrow at MK Dons looks like this. Gavin Bazunu in between the sticks. Kieran Freeman, Sean Raggett, Clark Robertson and Lee Brown. Ryan Tunnicliffe partnering Joe Morrell. Marcus Harness, Ronan Curtis on the wings, with Miguel Aziz behind Ellis Harrison up front for Pompey. And Dave's bench looks like this. Bass, Romeo, Thompson, Williams, Marquis, Hackett Fairchild and Michael Jacobs. Is there much to argue with that starting 11, Josh? I know you mentioned a few moments ago about how you'd like to see Miguel Aziz start for Pompey tomorrow. Is that starting 11 something almost similar to what you'd like to see?
Yeah, pretty much spot on. As I said, I'd personally have Romeo in the team because I think he just offers a bit more going forward. I think Freeman's been fantastic at the start of the season, but I think sort of pace and power, as well as doing what Freeman's able to do in terms of take the ball under pressure and move it on, I think that pace and power going forward, if you're a team that wants to be challenging the top six, you need a fullback that's going to fly and hit the line and offer something in attack as well as defence. I think Jacobs actually is rather unlucky, because I don't think we've actually seen much from Ronan Curtis so far this season. And for me, when fit, Jacobs was our best player last year. And that's the biggest issue, his fitness. But if you get him in the team as well, then on the ball, suddenly we're a very comfortable team. Some will say that Aziz needs to work his way in, but I think it's pretty clear that Arsenal rate him very highly and we need a technical number 10, and he appears to be it. So there's no reason why he shouldn't go straight to the team. So yeah, it's pretty much what I would like to see. I don't think Morrell starts. I think Williams sort of has that shield, comes in, is there for me. But yeah, I think we've got every opportunity tomorrow, but as I said earlier, we need to go from the off and attack quickly.
Yeah, and Freddie, Josh mentions there about how Pompey comfortable on the ball when they've got possession, particularly with the players you'd expect to be involved in the game tomorrow afternoon. But looking at MK Dons, the way they approach matches, they're not an easy side to beat. At Stadium MK, they will want to keep the ball for as long as possible. They're going to make it very, very difficult for Pompey to get anywhere near them. So it's going to be a different test for Danny Cowley tomorrow. How does he overcome it? And how does he try to break down such a solid team like MK Dons, such a stubborn team who will not give that ball away?
Oh yeah, it's going to be a completely different test to what Portsmouth have faced so far. I think the game will be like a chess match where almost who makes the first mistake. I think the team will come out on top if that happens. But I think Pompey basically need to rely on two things. They need to make sure they don't lose the midfield completely, which is why I personally have Morrell and Williams and Tony Cliff in a midfield three, sitting a bit deeper. But also through counter-pressing, there's so much of the MK Dons' possession starts with Fisher, O'Hora and Lewington. And quite simply, Portsmouth need their attacking players to close down their centre-halves, take away those passing lanes, and basically try and force MK to basically give away possession as much as possible. And if Pompey do that, then they can create chances from there.
Yeah. What are you expecting from tomorrow's opponents for this season, Josh? You know, we speak about their strengths, but are there any notable weaknesses within this team that, A, you can think Pompey can exploit tomorrow afternoon and, of course, in the reverse fixture, but B, anything that stands out to you that, you know, may not consider them actually as a dark horse for promotion this season? Because plenty of people are suggesting that.
Yeah, and I think they're one of the teams that go under the radar. I think I remember saying, obviously not the season just gone, but the season before when we were all at Pratt and Park, we beat them 3-1, I think, but the way they passed the ball was incredible. It was that they were arguably the best team I'd seen on the ball that season. I think where you can get at them, as I said, Lewington doesn't have the pace. He's 38, 39, I think, and you need to go at him. But they like, and I feel that we will do this as well with the way Gavin Bazunu plays out from the back and the distance he comes out of his goal. They are sceptical too. If they give the ball away, it's going to be at the back and it's going to be an opportunity where you have the chance to score a goal. If they give the ball away, you're in, essentially, because they play with that mentality. You play it out from the back and you keep it short, sharp. So there's plenty there, and a high... You will be caught out with the high press because they can put it behind you and then just run off. But if you can close them down quick enough and win that ball back, you'll almost find yourself in a sort of 3-on-2 or a 4-on-2 immediately straight away.
We've got some more text tweets and emails to get into before we do leave you in just under 5 minutes' time here on the Football Hour. Tweet in from Mockers. Some players do need a kick up the backside from time to time to avoid complacency. Freddie is right there. A bit of competition is healthy. I'd like to see two up front, and would be crackers not to use Jacobs more too. Mockers on Twitter there, getting his pun in as usual. Alan Swift's got back in touch on the emails. Hi, Jake. I think Harrison needs a partner or it will change his game for the worst. Alan in Southsea on the emails. And Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie Southsea. Hi, Jake away. Ellis Harrison has guaranteed his game start after bagging his impressive hat-trick on Tuesday night. Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie Southsea. And Mike, you're referring to me as Jake away, as you do every single week, has reminded me, but I got a lovely text from my Pompey Live colleague, Ryan Stilwell, about half an hour ago, and he confirmed to me exclusively that we are getting a Nando's before the game tomorrow. There's one right outside Stadium MK, so I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's game. I'm actually looking more forward to the Nando's, I'm not going to lie. Looking at MK one more time before we do go, then, Josh... Some players who do stand out, Mo Issa, we talk about he may be or he probably will be injured for tomorrow's game, still with medical team receiving treatment. Josh McEachran, Ethan Robson on loan from Blackpool, and Haram Boateng, MK Dons' player of the month for August, can't go unnoticed, and neither can Troy Parrott, a striker on loan from Tottenham Hotspur. They've got a lot of threat, but it's just the way they use it.
Yeah, they do, and as we sort of have alluded to, they're a footballing team, and all those individuals are it sounds weird to say, but they're footballing footballers. Like, that sounds ludicrous to say, but the amount of sort of professional footballers you come across who can head it, can tackle it, and can play the game to a certain limitation, but they want the ball, they want to pass 5 yards, and they want to move off the ball. And I think that movement off the ball is what makes teams dangerous. You said about Troy Parrott. I mean, it didn't come off for him at Ipswich, and it hasn't really come off for him at this level, but he's already started the season well. There's plenty of dangers there. And yeah. I think we've got to be on our game. It's not like we're playing against an MK Dons 3 or 4 years ago where you'd rock up and you'd expect to beat them. If anything, I think you're looking at this game, you think, well, actually a draw is a very good result.
Josh, I hate to pressure, mate, but we are really running out of time. Thank you so much for yourself and Freddie for coming on tonight's show. It's been an incredible hour of discussion. It really has completely breezed past us tonight. We're going to ask for a score prediction, Josh. Pompey away at MK tomorrow. What are you going for?
And for a sneaky Pompey 2-1 win. Ooh. And I never say that we'll win, so...
2-1 is what Josh is going for. What about you, please, at Threddy?
I'm going to be a bit dull and say it's going to be a 0-0 draw. It's going to be too much of a chess match, I think.
Okay, then. I'm also going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win this weekend. I reckon the Blues are going to come back from a goal down at half-time to return to winning ways. Josh, thank you very much for calling in tonight. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jake.
And likewise to you too, Fred. It's been a pleasure to have you on, as always.
Always nice to come on, Jake. Thank you.
Well, that is it from us this evening, I'm afraid to say. But you do not have long at all to wait for the return of Pompey to League One action. Be sure to join me and the rest of the Pompey Live gang tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. The last time the Blues were in league action was just under 2 weeks ago. Wigan Athletic away, that horrible 1-0 defeat at the DW Stadium. Time to put that in the back of our minds and forget about that and move forward to match day number 6. MK Dons are the opponents at Stadium MK. And you can join us right here on Express FM for full coverage of tomorrow's game from 2 o'clock. It's Pompey away to MK Dons. And all of the unmissable action will be right here. Do join us for Pompey Live.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues were on the wrong side of an 8-goal thriller in the EFL Trophy in midweek.
It's AFC Wimbledon 5, Portsmouth 3.
Up next for Pompey, it's a return to League One action. MK Dons await at Stadium MK for match day number 6 of this League One season.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
The only place to find out if Pompey can return to winning ways and goal-scoring ways in the league is right here on Express FM. Myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell have you covered with all of the action from Stadium MK. Once again, I'd like to send my thanks out to both Josh Sweetman and Freddie Webb for joining me on the show tonight, as well as to everyone back home for tuning in and getting in touch on the socials too. DJ Turner James is back in the mix tonight from 11, playing nothing but the greatest floor fillers into the early hours of Saturday morning. Ian McGuinness is back on air tomorrow morning between 8 and 11. He's got Saturday Breakfast, bringing you the greatest hits, 4 from 40 from 1992, a movies update with John Brown, and of course, all the latest news, weather, travel and sport too. And then between 11 and 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we've got nothing but non-stop hits here on Express FM to see you into Saturday afternoon. Connor Mosley is up next with Express Floor Fillers. I'll be back with a Football Hour from 6 o'clock on Monday evening. But of course, beforehand too, with Pompey Live. Be sure to join the team for full coverage of Pompey's trip to MK Dons live here on Express FM from 2 p.m. tomorrow. And until then, have yourselves a great evening, Pompey fans. Keep safe and play up Pompey. Good night.